Welcome back to the Born a Ball podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kenny G. And today we're going to be looking over what happened this weekend in the NFL and college football, while also catching up a little in the MLB standings, seeing if anything changed at all. I doubt it, but we'll look into that still. So today, it's just going to be all football talk, really. Nothing else. And really until we get towards maybe the trade deadline, MLB postseason, it's strictly going to be football. Especially, and then when the NBA comes around, when we get to closer to that, also giving predictions and stuff like that, start talking about that. But until then, it's purely football. First, I want to talk about what happened on Friday night, where the Green Bay Packers unfortunately lost to the Eagles 29-34. I was here to really watch that game, but I do remember checking the score, seeing the Eagles at the ball with 5 minutes left in the game, and the Packers flat out not stopping, though. I think that was embarrassing, but I can't tell you much because I didn't watch the game. I was out. Unfortunately, no, I do have a social life, guys. So don't think I'm just cooped up watching football all day, unfortunately. But for Jordan Love, man, I heard he looked somewhat all right. From what I heard, he had a lot of passes that could have been interceptions. He threw one interception to two touchdowns. He had 260 yards. But unfortunately, at the end of the game, he did end up hurting himself. It's not a serious injury, I heard, but for sure he will be out a few weeks. As for the rushing game, Josh Jacobs had 16 carries for 84 yards. Jaden Reed had an end around, I'm guessing. He had a one carry for 33 yards and a tutty, but he also had a great day through the air. I remember seeing his touchdown. He had four catches for 138 yards and one touchdown. As for the Eagles side of things, man, they kind of shocked me. You know, I had the Packers winning this game, but the Eagles turned around and gave him somewhat of an ass whooping, you know. Jalen Hurts had 278 yards and two touchdowns with two interceptions. Oh my God. Saquon, in his first game as an Eagle, had 109 yards with 24 carries with two touchdowns on the ground. As for A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, they still look dominant. If the Eagles team clicks and they are locked in by January, Nick Sirianni has a brain, I don't see a way that they're not back in the Super Bowl. But still, I think my prediction is the Packers. Once Jordan Love gets healthy again, I still believe in that team. Or the Lions. But I still like the Eagles for sure. I think the NFC is very top-heavy. Like with the Niners, we'll see tonight. The Eagles, Lions, and Packers. But yeah, the teams. The game, for sure, looked decent in Brazil. Can't lie to you. I think the defenses look good. But I'm speaking as a guy who didn't watch the game, unfortunately. So yeah, I can't put too much stock into that. But the Eagles do get the win. Jalen Hurts, two interceptions, though, buddy. Not going to cut it. But you just got to hope Jordan Love stays healthy, because both teams have the power to for sure walk out with the Lombardi in February. As for Sunday's game, let's get into the first one. The Cardinals lost the Bills 28-34. I had the Cardinals winning this one, I think. I'm pretty sure I did. And they just they looked good at first. They were up 17-3. Kyler Murray was scrambling. But one thing I did not like about Kyler Murray's performance today was the lack of ball. Like, Marvin Harrison getting one catch for 4 yards. My God, dude. I really didn't like that at all. I think, you know, I did see a play where he was wide open for a touchdown, and Kyler Murray flat out just missed him. But they're going to have to get that connection for if they want to succeed this year, that connection needs to be present. It's just unfortunate they lost this game, for sure. As for the Bills, to all my Dalton Kincaid truthers, it was a bad night. One catch for 11 yards. I had him on my ticket getting an anytime touchdown. Same with DJ Moore, but we'll talk about him later. And he just didn't get it. It just sucks for us Dalton Kincaid truthers. MVS got him a catch. Ugh, nasty. But they did look impressive. Josh Allen showed up 232 yards with two touchdowns, 18 completions. He had 9-39 on the ground and two touchdowns. So four touchdowns all around. I just didn't believe in the Bills at all. I still somewhat don't. I think the Cardinals for sure should have won this game if the Marvin Harrison and Kyler Murray combination was alive and their defense stuck together. But, of course, the Bills won this one 34-28. For the next game, Kirko. The Steelers beat the Falcons 18-10. Chris Boswell had 6 field goals, giving me serious flashbacks to when the Chiefs and Steelers played in the divisional round, and that's all they did was kick field goals, and we still lost. So shout out to pre-Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid for that one. Justin Fields gets a big week one win as Russell Wilson inactive on the sideline with his headphones, mic, and pads on. Surprisingly, only Russell Wilson. Justin Fields had 156 yards through the air, and of course, he had 57 on the ground. George Pickens, this is, I think, the bright spot of the game for me. He had 6 catches for 85 yards. I just said in my predictions for the Steelers, regardless of who was going to be the QB, George Pickens was going to go up and get the ball. He was going to eat this year, and so far, he looks like that. For the rest of the offense, Najee Harris had 20 carries. I'm guessing Jaylen Warren wasn't healthy this game. He was questionable through the week, but he got 20 carries for 70 yards. So, Najee Truthers, you know, stay alive out there, man. For the Falcons, though, flat out embarrassing. They entered the top 3 embarrassing performance of the week. You know, there's 3 teams I felt that gave embarrassing performances. We'll get into those 2 later, but the Falcons for sure deserve to be in there. What I've seen is that I don't think Kirk Cousins is healthy. I've seen a stat where they barely were in shotgun. I'm guessing he isn't healthy. That's what a lot of Falcons fans are saying. That's what I've heard. He isn't still healthy, and they are playing off of that. And I think that's flat out embarrassing, man. I think, you know, that could be the reason for the Michael Penix pick, is that Kirk Cousins wasn't fully healthy, and they paid him all those big bucks, but they eventually hoped to get him healthy. But for the Falcons, Kyle Pitts got him a TD, along with 3 catches at 26 yards. Bijan Robinson, 18 carries, 68 yards. It's just... ultimately, was it just a bad game? Kirk Cousins throws 2 interceptions, and he clearly wasn't looking healthy. It just was a bad game, a bad night for the Falcons. I had them winning this NFC South, but after seeing what the Bucs did later in the day, I feel shaky about that. The defenses, I guess you could say, for both teams look good. TJ Watt is always looking like a defensive player of the year candidate, man. Just looking dominant as always. Had a sack on the night. But for the Falcons, they host the Eagles. They play the Eagles and Chiefs these next 2 weeks. So if Kirk Cousins isn't healthy, they got to figure something out ASAP. You're going to play 2 great defensive lines. You're going to play 2 teams that are going to most likely whoop your ass. And there's a solid chance you start off 0-3, which will be terrible. But they got to figure something out soon. But good win for the Steelers, as they are the sole leader of the AFC North right now, as all other 3 teams took losses. But congrats to the Steelers, man. I think Russell Wilson returns next week. But yeah, Steelers 18-10 over Falcons. I had the Falcons winning that one. For the next game, I think the most disappointing game in my eyes, the Tennessee Titans lost to the Chicago Bears 24-17. I had the Bears winning this one. Bear down. For the Bears, it was a bad night, offensively. Caleb Williams had 14 completions, 29 attempts, and 93 yards. He averaged 3.2 yards completion. That is disgusting. DJ Moore had 5 catches for 36 yards. I had him get a touchdown, but that didn't turn out. Keenan Allen had 4 catches for 29 yards. Roman Dunze had 1 catch for 11. Of course, it just was bad, man. I mean, that's not what I'm looking at. My God. Am I looking at the wrong thing? I don't see anybody getting a touchdown. Hold on. Well, no. Sorry about that mistake, guys. Like I said, was unfortunately missed a half of this game. I wasn't really locked in as I was to Sunday Night Football mid-afternoon, as I was with the early. But, yeah, the offense of the Bears didn't score a single touchdown. They had a special teams and a defensive touchdown with 3 field goals. This is way more embarrassing than I thought. I thought DeAndre Swift might have gotten on the ground, but the Bears offense looked just disgusting that game, man. I'm hoping for a bounce back, like a genuine bounce back next week when they play the Texans on Sunday Night Football. But that's just, ugh. For Caleb Williams, for this trio of the receivers, DeAndre Swift, this was a disgusting performance. All around offensive, I think the average for passing yards through the quarterbacks on Sundays was 185. Just disgusting from offenses around the whole league. But for the Bears especially, I think they had the worst one. 93 yards from your quarterback, 0 touchdowns from your offense, and not even a single player from on the ground or through the air had over 40 yards. But for the defensive side of things, they ate Will Levis up. Will Levis finished the game with 127 yards and 2 interceptions to 1 touchdown. He got sacked 3 times. Tony Pollard had himself a good game, 16 carries, 82 yards, and a touchdown for the former Cowboy, Calvin Ridley, and Tyler Boyd. Interesting to say the least. D-Hop got himself a catch of 8 yards. Should have signed with the Chiefs a year ago, buddy. Calvin Ridley had 3 for 50. Tyler Boyd had 3 for 18. Will Levis had a fumble. As for the Tennessee defense, they had themselves a good game. Lejarius Sneed, my boy, had 4 tackles on the day. Just a good day, I guess, for both defenses, but even worse for their offenses, especially the Bears. I didn't expect much from the Tennessee offense, but the Bears, that was flat out embarrassing. They win it, though, 24-17. I had the Bears. Next, we got the upset, I think, of the day. The Patriots upsetting the Bengals 16-10. This is the second team on my top three embarrassments of the week, alongside with the Panthers, which I don't even think I'll talk about the game, but we'll get into the Panthers later. The Patriots beat the Bengals 16-10. Jacoby Brissett had 15 completions and 121 yards. No touchdowns, but Ramondre Stevenson. To all my Ramondre Stevenson fantasy owners, stand up. Give yourself a round of applause. He had 25 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown. I'm gonna need that production all year, but I doubt it. Drake May should have started week one. I think they would have been looked a little better with him. What do you have to lose starting Drake May and Jacoby Brissett? The roster is bad, I think. And Jacoby Brissett did not show anything worth keeping him for week two. Why just not go out and give Drake May a start? I've never understood that when it comes to rookie quarterbacks. Unless you are competing and you drafted like the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, like, we knew Alex Smith was probably going to not get us a Super Bowl, but we knew we were competitive with him, and we had the roster to give us at least a small chance. But Patrick Mahomes, it wasn't worth throwing him out there to the Wolves. But for Drake May, what do you have to lose playing him? You are going to finish last in the AFC East. You're going to get a top 5, top 10 pick. So what's the holdup starting Drake May? Jacoby Brissett did not look like he's worth keeping past week 2. But, yeah, offensively, it was a bad game for both teams, but especially the Bengals and Joe Burrow. He had 21 completions for 164 yards. Jamar Chase got his ass locked up. Well, let me reiterate. He had himself a decent game, but for the money he wants, 6 catches for 62 yards might not cut it. Might not cut it, but who knows? T. Higgins, of course, didn't play due to injury. Mike Gesicki got himself a little, he had himself a tad bit of a okay game. He had 3 catches for 18 yards. I thought he had a touchdown, but I forgot they overturned that. Just a terrible game. I mean, what can I say? Zach Moss had himself a touchdown, but for the Bengals, this was just embarrassing. I know you're missing T. Higgins, but what does that have to do with anything? I think Zach Taylor called himself a bad game. I seen on 4th and 2. They went for a little Ravens-esque screen pass, little out swing pass for 4th down. It got stuffed. What can I say? It's just embarrassing. Embarrassing is just a word. It's the word of the day, word of the week for the Bengals. Something they need to hold up as they prepare for the Chiefs next week, mid-afternoon game, 3:25 on the road. This performance will get you blown out versus the Chiefs, flat out. They have to regroup immediately because things will get wicked. You will possibly start off 0-2. And, yeah, that's just disgusting. What can I say? Like I said, for the Patriots, though, great game defensively. Keon White himself had 2.5 sacks. Kyle Duggar had a big fumble, forced fumble. Jabril Peppers, Juwan Bentley both showed up. Christian Gonzalez looked good. Good game for them, and if the Patriots can string wins like this, they very well could be, by week 12, looking for an actual chance at a wildcard spot. Most likely the 7th seed and only the 7th seed. But for the next game, I unfortunately had the Bengals winning that one, so yeah, chalk that up. For the next game, the Houston Texans beat the Indianapolis Colts 29-27. Both QBs flashed this game, to say the least. I think C.J. Stroud shined, as he had 24 completions, 234 yards, and 2 TDs. Joe Mixon dominated. Of course, speaking of the Bengals, they could have used him yesterday. He had 30 carries for 159 yards and a tutty. Stephon Diggs showed up, man. He had 6 catches, 33 yards, and 2 TDs, while Nico Collins, productive as always, 6 catches, 117 yards. Tank Dell got himself some. I'm shocked they didn't win this game by more, but Anthony Richardson and Colts, Alec Pierce kept them in the game. They only won by two, but Anthony Richardson had 9 completions on the night for 212 yards. He has so much promise and potential, it's not even funny. He just has to put it together to stop being inconsistent. 9 completions for 212 yards, 2 tutties, and interception. He also led rushing with 6 carries and 56 yards. He can be such a great player if he can just stop being inconsistent. He has everything. He has the talent. He has it all. He had a beautiful pass, pressure in his face, hand in his face, balling back on 2 feet, throws it up to Alec Pierce for a dime. Alec Pierce, speaking of him, he had 3 catches for 125 yards and a tutty. Ashton Doolin had 1 catch for 54 yards and a tutty himself. Good game, I guess, for the Colts. They kept in there. You know, I thought they had a chance to win the game. When Nico Collins had a beautiful catch on 3rd down to give the Texans a first and officially seal the game. The Texans, you know, who I've gone to the AFC Championship game, looked really well. This is their offense. This is what you should expect. Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins all showing up, and Joe Mixon also putting up good work. CJ Stroud being great as always. This is what will give you a chance at the Super Bowl and a chance to make noise in AFC. Of course, the Colts lost this 27-29. I had the Texans winning this one week one. For the next game, it was the Dolphins and Jaguars. The big story before the game was Tyreek Hill getting arrested. Off looking at the video, I thought maybe it was deserved. You know, these guys got him on the ground, 4 cops, this and that, but one of the cops got put on administrative leave later in the day, which goes to show that they must have overreacted, and all cops look to be the same. But that's just a whole different topic. We're not going to get into that. But Tyreek Hill, of course, isn't the greatest guy in the NFL by far. He's got a past that makes him look like a real piece of shit. As a Chiefs fan, it was always hard to look past that. But, you know, hopefully one day he changes, you know. I think he is changing, but who knows. Still a piece of shit for what he did in the past. But, of course, let's move past that. That was the big news before the game. As for the Dolphins, man, they won this 20-17. Jason Sanders with a nice kick at the end of the game to win it for them. Tua had 338 yards leading all Sunday passers, and he had a tutty. As for rushing, pretty mediocre game for them. 81 yards with 25 carries throughout every rusher, qualified rusher through this game. Devon Achane did give himself a touchdown. He had 10 carries and 24 yards. As for receiving, though, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. What can I say? Probably the best 1-2 punch in all of the NFL. Tyreek had 7 catches for 130 yards and a tutty, while Jalen Waddle had 5 for 109. Devon Achane had 7-67 on the ground. 7-67 through the air. Forgive me for that mistake. Raheem Mostert even showed up with 2-10. But yeah, what can I say? Good game offensively. By score, though, it really doesn't say that. They did have a few mistakes, a few mess-ups that they could have really blown this out of water, which they should have. But the Jags kept in the game. Trevor Lawrence himself had 162 yards in a touchdown. Tank Bigsby showed up with 12 carries, 73 yards. But Travis Etienne had 12-44 and 1 on the ground. Gabe Davis showing like why he got big pay. A big pay, 3 catches, 62 yards. And Brian Thomas Jr., the rookie out of LSU, with 4 catches, 470. Oh my, excuse me, not 470, 47 yards. Forgive me, Monday morning. Now fully awake, and he had a tutty on the game. Where's he at? Josh Hines Allen with the new name had 2 tackles on the game. Foyosede Okulawan. God, my God. I'm terrible at names. I think the NFL's leading tackler in one of these few recent seasons. He had himself 11 solo. He had 11 tackles leading all Jags defenders. But, yeah, Jags for sure can't stay in this game way longer than I thought they should have. I thought the Dolphins had the potential to blow them out, but they didn't. The Jags look decent. Dolphins messed up too many times, and they have to regroup for a short week as they play the Bills on Thursday Night Football. I'll look into that a little later. But yeah, Dolphins won this 20-17. I had the Dolphins winning that one. Next game. Before we get into the next game, I want to talk about the Saints and Panthers. I didn't let this game pulled up on my browser for a reason. It was an embarrassment. They are the third embarrassment of the week with the Bengals and Falcons. 2 NFC South teams and an AFC North team. Flat out just got embarrassing. I don't want to talk about the score. None of that. Bryce Young has to look better. The Panthers as a whole need to look better. I thought they were going to win this game. I thought the Saints were by far the worst team. I was quickly corrected. Derek Carr looked like his 2016 self. Derek Carr for MVP, maybe? Who knows? We'll talk about that in a few weeks if he can keep it up. I think they play the Cowboys next week. But for Saints fans, you have a little hope. A little hope this team can look to something this season. But as for the Panthers, load up the mock drafts. What can I say? It's going to be a bad year. Could it be receiver they're looking for? Could he try to go get Will Campbell? Is it Tent McMillan? Is it Luther Burden? Who knows? But for the Panthers, yeah, it's mock draft season. This is way worse than I expected. Hopefully they could turn it around. But with the way they looked yesterday, they very well could only get 2 to 3 wins. That's disgusting. Thanks for who barely missed the embarrassment of the week. This was the New York Giants. Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll, just, what's that smell? You know, everybody knows the brother ugh meme, but that needed to be thrown everywhere on every screen, every device in MetLife Stadium. Malik Nabers, though, was the bright spot, man. He looked good like yesterday, but for the rest of the team, Sexy Dexy, sorry, brother, you know, we gotta get you out of there, man. We gotta free you. Same with Malik Nabers, but for the rest of the team, brother, ugh. The team just looked disgusting. Vikings led by Sam Darnold, Mr. Mono, man. Flat out destroyed them. Justin Jefferson got himself a little tutty, looking good. But the Vikings just dominated them. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I might have the Giants winning this one. Can't get to it. I should have the records. I should have my predictions loaded up by the dome. Forgive me for that one, but just embarrassing. Just embarrassing, to say the least. They were the fourth most embarrassing team this week. Excluding what we might see tonight on Monday Night Football, who knows? But yeah, didn't want to talk about these two games in depth, really, because that's just nasty. That's just disgusting. I don't even want to talk about it no more. For the next game, let's get into that. All right, sorry. Let me just get two more things for both Giants and Panthers. For the Giants, Daniel Jones has thrown more pick sixes than touchdown passes since he signed that 4-year, $160 million deal. I'm disgusted for even saying that, but for worse news, for the Panthers, Derek Brown, their star defensive tackle from Auburn, is unfortunately looking like he will have a potential season-ending injury. There is no timeline yet, but a worse week for the Panthers gets even worse. Sorry for Panthers fans. You are in my prayers. But for the Raiders and Chargers, let's get into that. The Raiders' way and the Chargers' way showed up big. Fights on the field. Fights in SoFi, fights outside of SoFi, just classless and dirty fans and players. What can I say? For two bottom feeders in the AFC and in the AFC West, they look disgusting, but for the Chargers, they didn't win. In the first game of the Jim Harbaugh era, Justin Herbert had himself a calm little good game. 17 completions for 144 yards, a tutty. As it is the Jim Harbaugh era and the Greg Roman era, they ran a ball. They had 176 yards total on the ground, led by J.K. Dobbins, a former Raven and Buckeye, with 10 carries, 135 yards, and a tutty. He dogged my ass out on fantasy pause. Ladd McConkey, forgive me, guys. He looked good. He had a touchdown, 5 receptions, and 39 yards on the ground. A former first-round pick and TCU legend, Quentin Johnson, had 3 catches and 38 yards, averaged 12.7. yards a completion. What can I say, man? Maybe he's back. Maybe he is back. Defensively, though, Khalil Mack versus his former team showed up big time. He was a force in this game. Asante Samuel, Joey Bosa, Derwin James all shared 7 tackles. They just look good. 1.5 sacks for Khalil Mack, 1 for Joey Bosa, and 1.5 for Morgan Fox. The Chargers defense looked good. As for Max Crosby on the other side, Joe Alt put his ass in a box. He had 0 pressures against the rookie tackle from Notre Dame. The Chargers look surprisingly good. I had the Chargers win this regardless, but they looked better than what I thought. Or the Raiders looked even worse, led by Gardner Minshew. And speaking of Gardner Minshew, I talked with my pops about this. It is disgusting that you came into the year with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell as a quarterback battle. I mean, what are we talking about? This is a Madden franchise where I'm obviously trying to tank for that college football player. No, This is the NFL, man. You have a decent roster. You have one of the best receivers ever and in the league in Davante Adams. And you have a defensive player of the year candidate, Max Crosby, on the other side. And here you are with Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. They only scored 10 points Sunday with the touchdown coming via Alexander Mattison. He had I think, a 30-plus yard catch on the day. And that gave him the touchdown. But outside of that, man, it looked disgusting. 71 yards throughout the whole game rushing. Gardner Minshew had 257, 25, and 1. Davante Adams had himself 559. Jacoby Myers had 3 for 61. Brock Bowers, the rookie from Georgia, had 6 catches and 58 yards. He's going to have an amazing year. But as long as Gardner Minshew is your QB, you're going to have decent stats by saying 0 wins. But I could be overreacting. They very well get 6 to 7 wins with Gardner Minshew. But this team could be taken to another level with a good QB. Now the question is, what do you do? I'll talk about this all season, but are you going to try to pursue a quarterback with a trade? Or are you going to really go out there and go rookie? Could it be Quinn Ewers, Shedeur Sanders? Who could it be? Like, what is your end goal with this quarterback position? Antonio Pierce and Co. have to figure this out ASAP. Like, is it Gardner Minshew if he looks good this year? Is it Aiden O'Connell? Hell, is it a free agent next year that I don't know of? Jameis Winston? Are you looking for Justin Fields? Who could it be? Who is going to be the quarterback in the future for the Raiders? This needs to get figured out soon. You have too many good players that are getting older by the year that need to win. So, for the Raiders, they need to figure this out. As for the Chargers, a good win as they look to hopefully return back to the playoffs. And yeah. Chargers beat the Raiders 22 to 10. I had the Chargers winning this one. Next game up, the Seahawks versus the Broncos. Kenneth Walker III looked good. Mike McDonald gets the win in his first game. They win 26 to 20. Bo Pix unfortunately showed up for the Broncos, man. I had the Broncos winning this one. I believe in the Broncos, but Bo Lidnick's like a bunch of other rookie quarterbacks just look meh at best. He had 26 completions for 42 attempts, 138 yards, 0 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, but he did lead the game in rushing for the Broncos. As a whole, the offense of the Broncos just didn't look good yesterday. The Seahawks looked way better as a team. For the Seahawks offense, Geno Smith had 1 and 1 touchdowns and interceptions, 171 yards, 18 completions. Kenneth Walker, of course, shined, like I said. 20 carries, 103 yards for the former Spartan. He also had a touchdown on the ground. Geno had a rushing touchdown as well. For the receiving core of Seattle, Tyler Lockett led with 77 yards and 6 catches. DK had 3 and 29. As a whole, the Seahawks team can make a tad bit of noise. Not a lot of noise. But if they can click, they're going to have to get probably a better performance out of Geno Smith. But yeah, the Seahawks win this one. I had the Broncos, unfortunately, winning that one, 20. But they lose 20-26. Seahawks win this one. Let's get into the next one. Sorry about my ears, guys. I'm not going to talk much about this one, but Tom Brady did make his broadcast debut. That's probably the biggest news out of this one, outside of Jake Ferguson hurting his knee. But he will be week to week, per my sources. As for the Browns, Deshaun Watson, Mr. Happy Endings, just a pervert who shouldn't even be in the league, is getting paid big bucks to throw 24 completions out of 45 attempts, 169 yards, and a tutty, alongside 2 interceptions. He flat out looked disgusting. The rushing game without Nick Chubb did show. Jerome Ford had 12 carries for 44 yards and a tutty. But 93 yards total rushing. Deshaun Watson had 39 of them. Receiving-wise, David Njoku led with 4 catches and 44 yards. Jerry Jeudy got himself on the board. He had a touchdown with 3 catches, 25 yards. Amari Cooper got locked up, got thrown in a box and sent to a prison. 2 catches, 16 yards. Elijah Moore, Jets legend, showed up with 3 catches and 9 yards. Yeah, can't really speak for the Browns, man. They look, as a whole, the NFC, AFC North didn't look good, excluding the Ravens. Steelers got by a terrible Falcons performance and Chris Boswell turning into a legend, a GOAT, Hall of Famer. But yeah, the AFC North as a whole, excluding the Ravens, like I said, looked mid. As for the Cowboys offense, the new highest player in the NFL, Dak Prescott, who got paid 4-year contract with $240 million, he himself a game. He had 19 completions for 179 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, just had himself an okay game. I'm not going to say it was bad by any standard, but it was just okay. And it was enough to give them the win over Cleveland. As for Ezekiel Elliott, one of the first carries he had, he hurdled somebody, looking like it was 2016 himself. But overall, in the day, he had 10 carries for 40 yards. He did get in the end zone, so Vede Zeke maybe. And Zeke, fantasy owners, stand up, give yourself a round of applause. He might be out of there by week 6. For receiving, CeeDee Lamb had 5 carries and 61 yards fresh off his extension. Brandon Cooks got himself an end zone with 4 catches and 40 yards. For the rest of the team, Jake Ferguson, was, like I said, he got a had himself a little nick up, hurt his knee, but he will be week to week. He had 3 catches and 15 yards. Ezekiel Elliott had himself 2 catches. But the Cowboys did look good. Yeah, they look decent. I think they play the Saints next week. They're going to have to keep up this performance. Dak's going to have to give a little better. He just looked okay yesterday. Nothing too bad, but for the pay he's getting, I expect a better performance from an MVP-like candidate and a top 10 quarterback. But yeah, let's finish out this slate. The Buccaneers wiped the Commanders 37-20. To everybody who shunned Baker Mayfield, I hope you just hold the biggest nutsack in your hand, man. Us Baker believers stayed strong. I never gave up on Baker, man. When he bounced from Carolina, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, all these teams, I stayed strong. I believe Baker had what it took. The Rams too. I forget Baker, the team Baker was on, but I kept hope. Maybe 24 completions, 289 yards, 4 tutties, 0 interceptions. Bucky Irvin, the rookie from Oregon, had 9 carries, 62 yards. He looked good. Rashad White, one of my parlay busters. God, I didn't get to talk about that. I'll talk about that a little later. He had 15 carries and 31 yards. Ugh. Shout out to my boy, though, from Kansas City. The Kansas City area went to Central High School. Shout out my boy. Chris Godwin didn't look like a freaking cone yesterday. He had eight catches for 83 yards and a tutty. While Mike Evans, his partner in crime, had 5 catches and 61 yards and 2 tutties. Rashad White, who I just talked about earlier, forgive me, brother, you had 6 catches and 75 yards. So he looked good on both sides. He looked good at some point. So shout out to KC Native. Jalen McMillan had a catch for 32 yards and a tutty. So yeah, I mean, as a whole, the Bucks looked good. If I had to give you my NFC South prediction, of course, I said just on Friday, I had the Falcons. Today, I got the Bucks. And will this switch up next week? Who knows? If the Saints beat the Cowboys, could it be the Saints? Who knows? But as of now, in this day, on Monday, September 9th, I got the Bucks winning the NFC South. As for the Commanders, I had them losing this game to the Bucks. Same thing with the Cowboys, at the Cowboys beating the Browns. But on to the Commanders, I had them losing. Jaden Daniels, he didn't look bad. You know, he has 17 completions, 184 yards. He's joining the list of rookie quarterbacks who just had an day. He didn't have the worst performance of an NFC rookie quarterback. That goes to my boy Caleb Williams. But he had 88 yards on the ground. I like that, and 2 touchdowns. I think if you bet anytime score, you would have hit this easily. Austin Eckler only had 2 carries for 10 yards, but he showed up receiving as he had 4 catches and 52 yards. Brian Robinson Jr. had 12 carries for 40 yards. But as a whole, they didn't look bad. I think, you know, once Jaden Daniels messes with the likes of Eckler, Ertz, Luke McCaffrey, Terry McLaurin, Jamison Crowder, they can play teams a lot closer than they did yesterday. They just flat out just somewhat got dominated. They weren't ready. Tampa might be better than what I thought. And Commanders could be worse than what I thought. But I still think they are good enough to compete with teams in the NFC. But yeah, Jaden Daniels, going to expect a little more from the passing game. But what can I say? Probably wasn't his fault. Can't say I gave the best looks, the best eyes on this game. By the mid-afternoon slate, I thought this was just mid. I kind of wasn't tuned in. They were getting blown out. Just really didn't have my eyes on them that game. But yeah, let's get into Sunday Night Football. What was a great Sunday Night Football game. NBC's been cooking. They had Thursday night. Now they have Sunday night. Both great games. I speak for the Lions. The trench work was evident, as of course by overtime, David Montgomery getting in late with a tutty, 91 yards, 17 carries, and a tutty. Of course, like I said, late, got that in overtime. They walked them down in overtime. The Rams, tired, just got cooked on. The trenches showed up for the Lions, man. If you're a big trench guy out there, shout out to you guys. you loved what you saw in overtime by the Lions. They looked good. Jared Goff, though, he had 18 completions, 217 yards, and a tutty. He also had an interception. He got sacked twice. Like I said, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs gave both good performances. Jameson Williams had himself a night. 5 catches, 121 yards, and a tutty. Sam Laporta with 4-45. Amon St. Brown surprisingly had 3 catches and 13 yards. Bad day for any Amon-Ra St. Brown fantasy owners. But yeah, the Lions looked every bit as good as what I expected. They looked like the team that can win yourself a Super Bowl. As for the Rams, gotta hope the Puka Nacua injury isn't serious, man. Cooper Kupp showed up big time, 14 catches, 110 yards for the former Super Bowl MVP. He had himself a touchdown as well. Matthew Stafford showed up big time in the second half. He had, of course, 34 completions, 317 yards, and a touchdown interception. Of course, that early red zone interception was a bad look, but he turned it up in the second half to give them a chance in this game and allowed them to take it to overtime. For running wise, Blake Corum, surprised they didn't get a single carry. Might have got hurt, I don't know. But for Kyren Williams, he had 18 carries, 50 yards. He looked decent. The Rams defense without Aaron Donald didn't look bad. Tre'Davious White might not be it at corner long term. As for the rookie first round pick, Jared Verse out of FSU, he had himself a sack on the game. It's good, just a good performance, I guess, for the defense without Aaron Donald. Of course, he gave up that overtime touchdown where he got walked down. But with the Lions O-line and running game, can you blame them? I think 90% of teams get walked down in overtime by the Lions if they continue to keep up that performance, keep up that play calling they had in overtime where it was just pound the ball, see if they can stop it. But yeah, I think a good performance by both teams. I think the Lions as a contender look good, and as the Rams were a wild card team, they look good as well. Like I said, you just got to hope that Puka Nacua injury isn't serious and they can get back to having Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua on the field. I think when they're both on the field, they look good. Of course, the score didn't show, but I thought they look good enough to compete with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill as the best 1-2 combo in the league. But yeah, a good Sunday slate, I guess, is what I'll give it. It was good after Sunday night. Mid-afternoon was probably the worst slate of games. Early afternoon, though, was okay. So overall, I'd give it a good week one. Monday Night Football can for sure rise it or lower it if the Jets get blown out or if it is a comp game. It very well could rise or lower the stock of week one. But yeah, as for week one, tonight, my winner, my prediction, I'm going to go with the Niners. I think the Rodgers puts in a good performance. If you ask me, I am scared, though. 40-year-old could be fresh off an Achilles tear. You would for sure just got to hope he doesn't get hit much, man. They have to protect his blind side. They have to protect Aaron Rodgers. I don't see a way where you want to see Aaron Rodgers scramble at all. He's got to be the most protected quarterback in the league. You have to make sure of it. But I think Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, I think they all show up. All three of them show up. As for the Jets defense, I think they will look good. Got to hope they can minimize Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Deebo Samuel. Brock Purdy, of course, back at quarterback. You got to hope he locks in big time, gets his big payday that he wants. But yeah, just got to hope Nick Bosa does not touch Aaron Rodgers at all, and you have a chance in this game. I got the San Francisco 49ers beating the New York Jets 31-27. That's my prediction. As for Thursday Night Football, it's the first one on Amazon Prime this season. It's your Miami Dolphins versus Buffalo Bills. This one, I'm going to go with the Dolphins easily. I think the way Tua connected with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, that's what the Cardinals needed to do with Marvin Harrison. Of course, Marvin Harrison isn't on the same level as the combination of Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, but still, you know, I think what is going to kill the Bills the most is their DB core. I think once you get Tua locked in, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, they are going to thrash the hell out of the Bills secondary. So I got the Dolphins winning this one by 2 scores. I got them 35-21. Josh Allen will give a good performance, probably. James Cook, gotta hope Dalton Kincaid can show up. Hopefully he gets more targets. But yeah, just don't go. I don't really trust the Bills against power offense like the Chiefs, Ravens, or Dolphins. But this will be a good test for both teams for sure. And I can't wait to see this one Thursday night. Good way to kick it off on Amazon Prime. But yeah, that's it for NFL talk. It's been about 40 minutes. Now let's dabble into a few. Let's dabble into some MLB, man. The standings really haven't changed much, you know. As I look at the wild card, last time we talked, it was Baltimore, it was Kansas City, it was Minnesota, while you had Detroit, Seattle, and Boston chasing. That's for the National League. Yeah, it's Seattle, Arizona, New York, and Atlanta battling for that third spot. Of course, San Diego and Arizona got 1-2. Cubs, 5 games away. We're limited, man. We only have a few weeks left in the season. So every game starting to matter, especially for the NL. As for the AL, Baltimore's got that thing easily unlocked. I would say they are for sure, I guess, in the near the 100% mark to make the playoffs. As for the Royals, I checked today on Fangraphs. I think they are around 95%. They have a 2.5 game lead over Minnesota as they swept them. They swept the Twins in a weekend series, which, whew, thank the Lord, man. As a Royals fan, we have never fared really well against the Twins, especially this season, but they showed up big time. Michael Wacha gave 7 scoreless on Sunday, allowing for the clean sweep of Minnesota, man. They kept the line moving through games, and they just bullpen put in a good performance. What can I say about the Royals? I'm glazing right now. I'm a proud glazer of what I'm seeing the Royals do. They're going to proudly bring October baseball back to Kansas City as long as they continue to stay healthy and they just don't fall off a cliff. Their next series is versus the Yankees, and they play the Yankees on 9/11. So chalk that up as a 2-1. The max they can get is a win in the series, win the 2 games, but they're for sure losing 9/11, man. It's okay. Let's pay our respect to 9/11. Just know the league's got a script, and we're going to have to follow it. I got the Yankees winning that one. If you gamble a lot, take the money line on the Yankees. And if you can get specific betting, I would take a walk-off. Expect the Aaron Judge walk-off on 9/11. Expect it. Prepare for it. As for the Twins, they have the Tigers and Seattle on their back, 3.5. The Royals really do need the Yankees here is big. If they can get 2 wins, it's big. But they have to lock in. As for the division standings, Baltimore and Yankees are back and forth. Baltimore is behind 0.5 game. Cleveland has a 2.5 game lead on Kansas City. And Houston has a 4.5 game on Seattle. As for the NL, the Phillies are running away with the East as they have 7 games over both New York and Atlanta. Milwaukee is walking away with the Central as they have 9, and the Dodgers look to walk away with the West as they have a 6 and a 6.5 lead over San Diego and Arizona. For MVP, Shohei Ohtani, since I last talked about it, has hit a few more home runs, so it's looking like he's walking away with that. And as for Aaron Judge, it's pretty much his award, unless the Royals can turn up, possibly get the best record in the AL. Maybe getting that 1 seed could give him the MVP, but who knows. A sweep, this is an important series. If Bobby Witt can show up and Aaron Judge gets minimized and the Royals can win a series or sweep, he very well could flip it a little. Flip is a big word because I think the Royals be maybe a game behind, a half a game behind the best record in the AL, so it's still a chance. But yeah, sorry, I didn't do my research on Cy Young, none of this. I think Tariq Skubal of the Detroit Lions, I think he gets it in the AL. For the NL, I can't speak off the top of my head. But I'll look into that much. Trust me, next week when we talk MLB talk, maybe on Friday, next Monday, I will give you my real deal award predictions. Just gotta hope I remember this. If not, just know they're talk. Just know the MLB awards are probably already settled, so I don't gotta give you my prediction. But yeah, MVPs, nothing really changed. Nothing really changed in the standing except Kansas City getting a bigger lead and the 2 wild card spot over the Twins. And Detroit and Seattle climbing up to really try to get a spot. Let's get into some college football now. It was a eventful week 2, in my opinion. I for sure was locked in. What can I say? BYU did me a good favor. You know, I had them covering the spread. It was 12.5, and they ended up beating SMU by 3. Northwestern ended up selling me, man. I had them. You know. By 3.5, they lost by 6 in overtime. As for Saturday's games, yeah, you expected Mizzou, Georgia, Ohio State all showed up. Texas, though, Texas dogged the Michigan Wolverine 31-12 in a big house. I thought Alex Orji was going to start, but clearly he didn't. That was unfortunate. I think he should get the start. Shannon Moore and the Wolverines look to bounce back immediately in a big, big 10. You don't want to fall too far behind. They still want to defend their national championship, but it looks like they won't, man. Donovan Edwards, as much as Orr, he looked like he had on that college football cover. Don't think he will lead the Wolverines to greatness this year. South Florida giving Alabama some fits into the fourth quarter. But the upset of the week, the biggest game, my God, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish lost to Northern Illinois 16-14. I mean, I was in the middle of doing something, but I look at my phone, I check the scores, and I see, what? Notre Dame's down. My God. It's just embarrassing. I mean, their best chance of making the college football playoffs, and they squander a week two game to Northern Illinois. I mean, my God. Got a feel for Marcus Freeman, man. Big fan of him. But just the way Riley Leonard and Cole just disappeared was just disgusting, man. Northern Illinois gets ranked top 25, though they get the 25th spot due to a few other ranked teams lost, but I'll talk about them in a second. As for Ole Miss and Oregon, they handle business. Oregon barely squeaking by Boise State, but Ole Miss getting a blowout win versus Middle Tennessee. Penn State squeaks by Bowling Green. Connor Bazelak gave Penn State some fits early on, but Penn State and Drew Aller picked that one up. Utah beats Baylor by 11. Miami, of course, beats Florida A&M. USC beats Utah State. Tennessee dominated NC State like I expected. I didn't believe in Grayson McCall or in NC State at all after I seen what they did versus Western Carolina. Oklahoma and the Spriser barely squeaks by Houston by 4. Oklahoma State beat Arkansas second overtime. Is Oklahoma State fluky or is Arkansas like that? Who knows? We'll see as the weeks go on. Kansas State beats Tulane in what was a close 134-27. LSU won. Whew. Now, I think you guys remember me talking about Friday for my upset of the week. Wasn't the upset of the week, but here was what I thought on the podcast would be upset of the week, was Illinois beating Kansas. And what did I tell you? I told you I didn't believe from the start when I talked about week one. I didn't believe in Kansas from the start of the season. Nothing showed me that, hey, this team is legit. They can make the college football playoffs. They can possibly win the Big 12. Hell no. Illinois flat out showed up 23-17. Jalen Daniels, when people had a Dark Horse Heisman winner, looked like a crumb bum. Looked like a ant, dude. He looked terrible. The words aren't to describe him. 3 interceptions. What a lot of KU fans, a lot of Jayhawk guys are trying to blame is the OC. Don't blame the OC when your quarterback stinks the joint up like this. You can smell his stench from the nosebleeds. That's how bad he was. But they end up losing. They fall off the top 25. And, you know, they get West Virginia still on the schedule. You got Kansas State still. You got teams that are going to give you fits of Illinois then. Play calling needs a lock in. Devin Neal probably should have got to fed the ball more. He was cooking up, but they didn't feed him. But what can I say? When you're paying your quarterback most likely $1 million, in NIL, you want to put the ball in his hands to win your games, especially on the road, but that didn't happen. Illinois beats Kansas. Iowa State beat Iowa 20-19 on CBS. Shout out CBS for Big Ten content, you. But yeah, Iowa State, shout out to Cyclones beating the Hawkeyes. Louisville won. As for another, I guess, upset I wanted to say, I had Syracuse and Kyle McCord beating Georgia Tech. What did I say? Big day for the Orange Schools. Syracuse won 31-28. I didn't believe in Georgia Tech, really. I thought FSU was just a little bad, but what I saw versus with Syracuse versus Ohio, I was like, you know what? I think Syracuse is better. I think Syracuse is a good team this year. And what did they do? They won. Clemson, they dropped 35 on Appalachian State in the first quarter. As for the rest of the slate, the big game of the night was everybody's eyes had on Colorado-Nebraska. Dylan Raiola, looking a little Mahomey, a little Mahomes-esque. He went out there and he cooked up. It was a beauty to see. I'm a big Dylan Raiola fan, not because of the Mahomes ties, man, but because he could throw that ball. He could throw that ball for sure. They won 28-10. Shador Sanders got his ass sacked. You know, I'm not really clicking on box scores and stuff, but I gotta click on the box score for this one, man. I gotta see how many times he got sacked. It ain't loading. Give me a second. That brother. He got, The O line. Oh, I'm about to talk about the O line in a second, man. Shedeur Sanders got sacked. Come on. That brother got sacked. Where he at? Show me. They not show sacks? Oh my gosh. No way they don't show sacks. Let me look at this. Let me look at this. He got sacked 6 times. A lot less than what I thought. For sure. But the O-line, I didn't believe. People were hyping up that O-line in the offseason saying they got this and that. I hate to be that guy, brother. But that O-line, yeah, you look at their playlist. It's got Boss Man D-Lo. It's got AI Youngboy 2. It's got a lot of little baby. But ain't no damn country. There ain't no Garth Brooks in that playlist. No Morgan Wallen. Damn it. Ain't no Dan and Shay. Just naming country guys. But still, man, I off the rips, no matter their skin color, I would never believe in an all-transfer O-line, especially a freshman and a mainly transfer O-line. I don't believe in that because there's a good reason those guys are probably leaving their schools. Because if you're a good O-lineman in this state of college football, you're either leaving a school for good money, and everybody knows that, or you're leaving the school because you're not good. When I look at certain transfers, O-line transfers, you look at guys like Caden Green who leaves OU to go to a better program in Mizzou, man. He's getting paid big bucks to be on a better program and win, you know what I'm saying? But for the rest of these guys, these chumps on the O-line, these guys just got kicked off. These guys got booted. They didn't even care, man. What's the point of trying to keep these guys on the roster? These crumb bumps look good. Look, they didn't look good. As for Colorado's D-line, they couldn't stop the run. Disgusting. The boys look chalked. Ew. As for, like I said, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, they look good. They entered the top 25. They're just going to continue to rise up the ranks in this Big Ten. But anything, a bowl game and a bowl game win will be a big year for Dylan Raiola and Matt Rhule. They're going to continue to keep proving it. I think in a year, next year, or the year after, they for sure can compete with the national championship. Matt Rhule has to keep locking as a coach, but recruiting-wise and transfer portal-wise, I don't see a way where they're not in that. But for other games, I had Auburn being in California, but that turned out to be wrong. California ends up getting the win. Yeah. Let's see. For other games, yeah, boy, let me load this up real quick. Sorry about that pause. Arizona got a win. I think that for sure. There's nothing really to catch my eyes. Western Kentucky played versus Eastern Kentucky. Yeah. That was interesting. Virginia ended up beating Wake Forest by 1. As for other games, not really to talk about, man. Washington State beat Texas Tech. Unfortunately, Mahomes has to see a loss. They need to play better for my boy Pat. Mississippi State lost to Arizona State in a Big 12 SEC matchup. But yeah, that's it for college football, man. So we look to week 3. I'm not going to get into depth, but I'm going to look at these games. You're going to have some good games, man. UNLV versus Kansas on Friday. But then you get Arizona versus Kansas State on Friday night, too. Two good Friday night games, man. Even on Thursday night, Arizona State versus Texas State on ESPN. That'll look good to compete with Thursday night football. As for Saturday, Boston College, Missouri. Oh, that should be where college game day is, but instead they're going to Kentucky and South Carolina. Oh, excuse me, South Carolina versus LSU. South Carolina versus Kentucky happened last week, and Kentucky squandered a loss, even though I had them winning. Alabama, Wisconsin on Fox, Oklahoma State, Tulsa. Memphis versus Florida State. Look out for that one. I think Memphis can cause some waves. Oregon State, Purdue, Notre Dame, Florida A&M, Florida versus Texas A&M. Excuse me. West Virginia versus Pittsburgh in a rivalry game. How's that only on ESPN2? Is that a rivalry game? Isn't that not okay? Anyways, I'm not talking about Utah versus Utah State. Not looking like the greatest slate of games ever. I think you're going to get some good early on ones. You got Georgia, Kentucky. Hopefully they can compete. Colorado versus Colorado State is going to be on CBS. Okay, CBS. Anyways, Maryland versus Virginia. Decent slate of games for week 3 college football. But yeah, man. I think that's going to wrap up the pod today, guys. There's not really much to talk about. Like I said, until the NBA comes around, until we get some breaking news, maybe some stuff in pop culture. Personally, I'm not doing my research on a Monday morning to find what's pitting the pop culture. But I guess in other news, I guess in stuff I could talk about, I've been playing Black Ops 6 beta. I think that's going to be a really good game. I really haven't played a Call of Duty game, man. I think I might have sat down and played it for a few weeks in 2022, but I never really sat down and ever, grinded Call of Duty since maybe, 2020. But yeah, that game looks to look good. Another stuff I really can't find to talk about, man. Guys, I'm gonna hold you up long. So yeah, it's Monday, September 9th. I'll see you guys on Friday. We'll talk about Monday night football, Thursday night football. We'll talk about week three college football more in depth. We'll talk about, of course, another week two slate in the NFL. I'll try to look at some things over the week and catch that, put that into the podcast for Friday. So I'm just not rambling about football. I know that can get tiring because really, if you are a sports head, all you do are going to consume is football for the next few months. So the NBA comes around, then you might get away. And then, of course, when MLB postseason comes around, you dabble into that. But until then, man, I'll see you guys on Friday. As always, be great people, love and respecting one another, and enjoy every second given. God bless ya. I'll catch you guys on Friday, and have a great week.